If you're like me, I'm sure that song is just as true for you as it is for me. That's one of my favorite songs. I've been singing it all week in my basement. Anybody else? Anybody else but you? You try to find someone who loves you like the Lord. You try to find someone who cares about you like God. Every one of us in our lives have had someone, whether it was a mate, whether it was a close friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a parent, who we found in any given situation that we couldn't trust. And they let us down. And I think about where my life has come from and where it is today. And no one else would have ever given me the time of day as compared to what God has given to me. No one else. Anyone else would have left me for the dogs. Anyone else would have left me without a roadmap of where to go, without directions. We live in a society and in a world that is very cold and very calculated and very self-centered. A society that doesn't even know the meaning of the word love. God cares about you. In the last 5 weeks, we've been going over a series on winning attitudes. How to have winning attitudes. How to formulate winning attitudes. But you know something that I haven't said all during those 5 weeks that I'm going to tell you today? I'm a pessimist. Because I'm a realist. And life is painful and life is full of hurts. And if you don't have Christ, you are in a hopeless situation. I look back at my life 13 years ago. When I was 20 years old, and that time in my life that I had spent going from one state to the next state to the next state, looking for some meaning, some relevance in my life. And coming up empty-handed in Colorado, and empty-handed in Oklahoma, and empty-handed in Texas, and empty-handed in San Francisco, and finally ending up back in Iowa, only to find that no matter where I went, people were all the same. The geography changes, the scenery changes, but people were the same. And I was the same. And it didn't matter what experiences I encountered, I still had my emptiness, my loneliness, my frustration, and the lack of direction in my life. And in all honesty, there is no attitude in the world that is going to change a realistic situation like that. Unless you just self-deceive yourself and believe that it's really good when all along it really isn't. And most of us, sometime during our life, come to that point of decision, and we face up to the fact that, you know what? I'm lying to myself. Life stinks. Life really stinks. I mean, what is the meaning of it? What is the relevancy of it? I give myself in this relationship, and I get stabbed in the back. I give myself over here and it isn't appreciated. I reach out, I want to reach out, but I'm afraid to reach out. Last week I went over 9 attitude truths. And I want to refresh your memory by just reading them to you real quickly, and then I want to tell you something about them. Number 1, God always does me good. Number 2, God works everything in my life for good. Number 3, God wants me. Number 4, God is for me. Number 5, God provides for me. Number 6, God does not condemn me. Number 7, God loves me. Number 8, God planned for and uses my weaknesses. And number 9, with God's help and power, I can do anything. Many of you got these afterwards. You went over them. These truths will change your life. But I have to tell you a little secret that I didn't tell you last week. If you don't know Christ, you can burn this piece of paper. Because there's only 2 things on this sheet that are true for you. If you do not know Christ personally, that is number 1, God wants you. He really, really wants you. Many of us in our lives, and we've experienced this last week in my life has been it's been an awesome week in more ways than I can really tell you this morning. And it's also been an eye-opening week as I began to realize the pain and the brokenness of person after person after person that I encounter. I am really amazed when I think about the life I had growing up as compared to probably most of us in this room. And compared to most of the young children that come to this school every week. And it really tears at my heart. Many of you know what it's like not to be or feel wanted by your parents or by someone you married. You know what it feels like to have your guts ripped out and the emotional stress that it brings into your life. I was talking to a friend this week who finally came to the conclusion that I could care less about anything and I don't even care if there's a God. And that really tore at my heart to see people who have been through that much that they don't even understand or would want to understand that no matter where you've been and no matter what you've done, God wants you. Jesus Christ wants you. I was visiting with a friend the other day and I told him this person's life was a tragedy. Was a tragedy. And I said to him, I said, what would you pay if all that could be turned back, the clock could be turned back, and none of it happened, and you had a brand new start in life? And they said to me, I'd give everything I owned if I could start as if none of that happened to me. That's what Christ offers you. That's what Christ offers you. He says in John chapter 10 that I am the good shepherd. And I have come that you might have life and that you might have it in all its abundance. He said, Mark, he said, I don't know if I can accept that. I said, I want to ask you this. What have you got to lose? What do you have to lose? Think about that. What have you got to lose? You've lost it all already. Life is already hopeless. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. God came down in history and He lived and He died for you and He paid a debt that you and I don't owe. Many of us in here are in debt. That's kind of the American way. Be in debt. Many of us here are in debt that is applying good pressure to our life. Others of us are in debt that's crushing our life. But no matter who you are, if I were to come up to you and say to you, listen, you're in debt. Oh yes, I'm in debt. I'm really in debt. Would you like to get out of debt? I would love to get out of debt. See, one of the things that keeps this pressure from really coming and breaks down my analogy is that you can declare bankruptcy in the United States. You can't declare bankruptcy with God. And imagine if you can't declare bankruptcy and there's no way out and they're beating on your door and they're beating on your door and the sheriff's at your door and the creditors are at your door and I come along and say to you, do you want to get out of debt? And you say, I desperately want to get out of debt. And they say, all right, how much do you owe? I say, I owe $285,000 and I just lost my job. I say, all right, you get those bills out and we're going to go to the bank together. And I am going to pay those debts. All of them. And then I'm going to give you a couple billion in reserve. Think you could use that? Oh, gee. That's what God is offering to you. God is offering to clear up your debt, take care of all your debt, and then He's going to give you a couple trillion, zillion in grace to see if you can use up in the next 40 years before you die. And you won't be able to. You never get to the bottom of God's givingness or the bottom of God's grace. If you want to be a winner and have winning attitudes, you got to go from being a loser to a winner. You see? Without Christ, you lose. With Christ, you automatically win. And then all of these things on this sheet are true for you. All of them. And it's no wonder when I read over these and I took this home, I thought, boy, it'd be easy to have a positive life if stuff like that were true. I mean, God is always going to do me good. You mean every day I can expect good to come every day. Every day I expect good to come. You mean that's really true? I don't have to be discouraged. I can face each day with confident assurance that God's going to do me good? Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true if you know Christ. You mean that God is for me all the time? And I don't have to worry about what other people think of me. And I can face each day and each circumstance with confidence, knowing that the most powerful ally in the universe is on my side? Yep, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. You couldn't change it if you wanted to. You mean God provides for me? And God's going to start looking out for me? You mean I can have the parents that I always wanted to have? And the father who doesn't beat me? And the father who doesn't scream at me? And the father who cares and looks out for me? And is affectionate with me and loves me and wants me? You mean that could be true in my life? I mean, that could be true in your life. That can be true today in your life. You've got to have power in order to have new attitudes towards life. God gives you the power through Jesus Christ. You've got to have Christ in order to get a new perspective on life. Because all you have to do is pick up the same newspaper I do and watch the same television I do and talk to the same people I meet every day. And the only conclusion you can come to is the world we live in is tremendously empty and lonely and frustrated and at their wits' end. They are desperately searching for something to satisfy their life. Christ will satisfy your life. David said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I was with a person this week. We were talking about this very thing. I said, "Listen, I'm going to put a pizza in front of you, and it'll smell good. Anchovy pizzas don't smell good. You wouldn't want to allure someone with anchovy pizza, because it just wouldn't do it. You said, put this beautiful pizza, and I said, listen, take a bite. You'll like it. Oh, no, I wouldn't like it. Listen, try it. You'll like it. Oh, no, it doesn't look very good. Listen, this is the most awesome pizza in the world. Taste it." So, all reluctantly, you pick it up, take a bite, and your eyes begin to brighten, and your smile begins to come in your face, and you begin to wolf this thing down, because you've tasted and seen that the pizza is good. See? You see, you taste and see that God is good. Taste and see, I dare you to believe. You ask yourself, why wouldn't I want that? Why wouldn't I want Christ in my life? Even if I'm not sure, I'm going to step out here in faith and trust Him because I've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And that's right. On the one hand, you have everything to lose and everything to gain. And on the other, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Because without Christ, you've already lost. With Christ, you're a winner, period. And nothing can ever change that. Each one of you know where you're at in your life. I don't know where each one of you are at. I care about each one of you. And Jesus Christ is willing to meet you right where you're at. He didn't ask you to comb your hair and put on a tie, get a little Bible and stick it in your pocket, go home and clean out your refrigerators and underneath your bed and everywhere else. All He asks is, are you willing to believe me? Are you willing to take me? Are you willing to take what I offer? If you are, you can do that today. You can do that now. You can do that this afternoon. In the privacy of your own home, in the privacy of the woods, wherever you're at, God is very near to those that want Him. You just ask. You say, God, listen, you know what Mark said this morning? It makes all the sense in the world to me. I mean, I don't understand everything, but God, I know where I'm at. And I want you in my life. If you say you died for me, if you say you paid for me, for my sin, for my wrongdoing, for the debt I owe, then God, I want it and I want that abundant life. And the moment you do that, God is in you. God comes in your life. Christ comes in your life and you're His forever. And we can't change that. Now, once you do that, once that happens, we're going to go from there. We have to start there because that's the beginning for everyone in this room. Some of you have come to that place in your life. Some of you are still seeking, investigating Christ. Maybe it's time that your search be over and you begin to experience life. The second thing that's very, very important to putting change in motion is you must desire to change. You must, you know, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? That sounds so simple. But you have to ask yourself, do I really want to change? Do I really want change? There's a story of the frog. My little friend the frog. And he was jumping along the road one day, hopping along, and he forgot to look where he was going, and he hopped and landed in a giant pothole. Kind of like Minnesota, in the middle of one of those potholes in the freeway. And he tried and he tried and he tried to hop and give it his best hop. And he just couldn't get out of the pothole. He just couldn't get out. A little rabbit came by and said, "Friend Frog, what are you doing down there? Hey man, help me out. I can't get out of here." Rabbit said, "I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get you out. But I'll go get you some food." So off he goes, hop, hop, here's some food. And then the deer comes by, and then the dog comes by, and no one can get the little frog out. So the friends bring him some food, and off they go down the road their merry way. And all of a sudden, they hear the frog, lop, ribbit, lop, lop, hopping behind him. They turn around in amazement and say, "Mr. Frog, how did you get out of the pothole? We thought you were stuck." He said, "I was. But I looked up and saw a Big Mac truck coming right my way. And I had to get out." It's when we have to get out of the potholes of life that we change. As long as we have acceptable options, we will never change. As long as you keep acceptable options in your life, well, if this happens, I'll leave. If this happens, I'll quit. It is till and only when you've experienced enough pain that you finally get serious about changing. Brent's going to cover this, I'm sure. I'm just going to jump the gun a little bit. You know one of the number one reasons for pain in our society? First of all, it's not God's fault. We like to blame God. It's easy. God, if you care so much, why don't you do something about this person? You know, like, kill him. No, get him out of my way. No, if you care about me so much. Well, what we don't understand about God is that God is not into robotics. God gave every one of you choices in your life to make. When you were young, you had no choices, in a sense. When you reach 16, 17, or even when you're earlier, the choices you make are the choices you make. See? And it's interesting that pain, and I've looked back in my life, I look back at a point in my marriage where finally God had my back smack against the wall, and I had experienced enough of myself, enough misery, enough pain to cry out to God and say, "God, I want a miracle. I want something different in my life. I want you to change me. I really am serious about this." And all of a sudden, change began to take place. The difference between those who sit in front of the TV, eating popcorn, watching the Olympics, and those who go and run in the Olympics is one word: desire. Desire. What do you want? What do you want? If you're going to put change in motion, you're going to have to go back. You're going to have to evaluate and ask yourself, what do I want? What do I really, really want? What do I really want to see different in my life? Michael Jackson had a song out not too long ago that said, "I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. I'm going to start with me." But that's usually where change starts, doesn't it? And we'd like the world around us to change. God wants to change you and I. See? God wants to change our life. What do you desire? The third thing is prayer. Prayer changes things. Now, I don't want to make this a generic sounding kind of thing, so I need to explain to you that God only hears the prayers of those who know Christ. You see? Of those that know Him personally. The prayer He hears of the one who doesn't know Him personally is the prayer of the cry for help. "God, come in me. God, I want you." And then you've got absolute access to God at any time, day or night. Listen, it's easy to understand. I don't have access to George Bush, to Mr. President Bush. I don't have any access to the president. unless I'm on his cabinet, unless I'm a congressman, unless I work in the White House. One day I was with Brent and we went to Washington, D.C. for a conference. We went to the White House and I said, what would you give me to jump over this fence? Ooh, that kind of got my blood going, you know, to think, I pay taxes on this place and I can't even go in. I pay the man's salary and I can't go in. This huge, gorgeous lawn. And I can't enjoy it. And I'd like to shake his hand and say hi and say I'm encouraged by the job he's trying to do. And I can't do it. Well, that's the way it is with God till you know Christ. See? There's one hotline to God before you know Christ, and it's the Jesus hotline. Bing! God, I want Jesus in my life. But then from that point on, you are a full member of the house. And into the house you go at any time, day or night, with confidence, boldly, right to God. And He promises in Hebrews to give you grace to help and mercy in any time of need, no matter what it is. God will give it. God will work in your life. Prayer changes things. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I'd like to read a verse to you out of Psalm 57 that in my life has been one of the motivating passages in this book that has seen me through many a difficult situation. It's Psalm 57. Verse 1, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until this disaster has passed. I cry out to God who accomplishes what concerns me, and He sends from heaven and saves me. God sends His love and His faithfulness. Oh, that passage has meant so much to me. And I have experienced through one extreme difficulty after another that God is very real. And God is very relevant. And He is very willing to come to our aid and help us deal with the problems and the difficulties we face. And the fourth and last thing, if you're going to put change in motion, is that you must change your thought patterns. I don't know that I can emphasize this enough. But you have got to change the way you think. Now, that's why you need Christ. See? Because Christ gives you the power to change the way you think. He gives you the truth to think about to change the way you live. That which holds our attention determines our actions. We are where we are and what we are because of the dominating thoughts that occupy our mind. You think about that. What dominates your day? Frustration, discouragement, everything's bad. Life is bad, life is bad, life is bad. And you know what? Your life is bad. What dominates your life? I've been victimized. I've been brutalized. My life is miserable. I'm resentful. I'm hateful. And you know what? Your life is miserable. Your life is resentful. Your life is hateful. Because what goes on in your mind absolutely dominates your life. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed. Don't let the world press you into its mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every time I read that, I think of my son's little transformers. He's got these little transformer guys and their little cars, you know, or their little boat. And you push a button. Well, he doesn't have one of the push button kind. But if I was a toy maker, I'd have the push button kind. So remote control, I can be driving it around my sisters and all of a sudden push the button. It jumps into this big monster. See, automatically. And flies through the air. Boy, kids would really get into that, wouldn't they? But these you have to do by hand. And in just a minute of time, in seconds, it just bing, 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 and it's transformed into this superhero. Or villain, whichever. I think of that every time I think of this passage. That when God renews my mind, when I take God's truth, what I said here, these attitude truths, they will change the way you live. You take these and you work on one of these a week. God always does me good every day. I got up this morning, 5:30. I do not like getting up at 5:30. I had the alarm set. I put it way across the room because I knew if it's within reach, I'll touch it and go back to bed. I wanted to get up and prepare and be ready to go. And I got up. First thing, all right, God's got good for me today. God's going to do, I'm going to go to that shower and I'm going to get waking up in that shower and God's got good for me today. God's going to help me. You have no idea how tough it is for me to sing at 10 o'clock in the morning. I have to sing for an hour. I sang from 6 to 7 just to be able to come and try to do a song. It's so different when it's 10 or 11. Let's start having church 10 or 11 at night. Could you go for that? About 11 o'clock, 11 to midnight. We'd have a snack afterwards. Anyway, that's kind of the way I work, you know. So getting up in the morning is tough. It's a challenge. But I get up and thought about this. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to have a negative outlook on this day because God is involved in my life. Mark Darling isn't making this up. God said it was true and I'm going to believe it. The next week, God's working everything in my life for good. And on you go 9 weeks and through the course of a year, you'll be able to get through this about 6 times. About 6 times. And I'll tell you what, you do that for a year and your life will change. Your life will change. But it's so imperative that we understand that our thoughts can control our life. I want to give you a major premise, number one. The major premise of what I'm saying is we can control our thoughts. And we like to think we can't, but you can. I mean, there may come something and you didn't put it there. That's okay. You can let it drive right on by. You don't have to put up the roadblocks and stop it. See? You may get some crummy garbage thought, or you may have some self-defeating thought, and it comes along. Well, just let it drive right on by and keep on driving down your highway. Don't get sidetracked. Minor premise. This is very important. Okay, this is very important. I want to tell you why I believe this is so important. Because I know many people. You know what the psychologist, you know what their answer is for your depression? Drugs. That's their answer. I'll get them in such a high state all the time that they won't get depressed. I want to tell you God's answer. God's answer is your thoughts. God's answer is power through Jesus Christ in your life. And He will change your life. He'll change it. He will change it. And as you change your thoughts, your encouragement level changes. You see? Because what's depression? It's emotions. It's a totally downgrading of your emotions. You want to know how to upgrade your emotions? Our feelings come from our thoughts. Conclusion. We can control our feelings by learning to change one thing, the way we think. It is that simple. Our feelings come from our thoughts, therefore we can change them by changing our thought patterns. Now you think about that. When you're scared, what do you feel like? When you're thinking the boogeyman's going to get you, what happens to you? You know what happens to you. When you're walking out at night and you think something bad's going to happen to you, what happens to you? When you wake up every day and thinking to yourself, my life is miserable, my life is crummy, nothing ever good has ever happened in my life, and you are flushing yourself right down the toilet. You see? It's all what you think about. You look in the mirror, I'm so fat, I'm so ugly, I'm just sick. You girls can relate to that, I know you can. I know my wife is going through that. 9 months almost, pregnant. I'm so fat. Honey, you're not fat. Yes, I am. Honey, listen. What's in between big and small? Not medium. Just right. In between big and small is just right. You're just right. You're just the size God wants you to be. And in a few months, you'll be just the size I want you to be. No, I didn't say that. Oh, I don't mean that. Oh, man, I got to go home today. So, Kathy, give me a hug. I can't, Mark. I'm so stuffy. Can we kiss? Oh, no, I'm so stuffy. Okay. Let's shake hands. We just got to keep this going. See, I got to tell you a story about this person I sing with today. The person I sang my duet with today. Nikki comes up to me this morning. We were going to wear pink today. See, we planned what we're going to wear. See, pink socks, pink tie. this is her pastel week, and so she was going to get a pink dress this day. She didn't get a pink dress, and so she gives more. She said, "Mark, I can't believe it. I tried 8 things last night, and then I just sat down and started to cry. I couldn't find anything to wear." And I thought, "Well, why didn't you just put on what you got on right now the first time?" "I don't know. I didn't think of it." Yeah, that's how we all are. You know, I have that happen too. That's one of my major decisions in the day. Did you know that? It's one of the problems with fashion. And I get up in the morning and go, "What should I wear?" You know, you kind of stand there freezing going, well, should I wear the stonewashed jeans? Oh, the cord. No, not the cords. You know, and I don't know if that's one of your decisions. And like, boy, that's one of mine. And, you know, it's true. And boy, it can ruin your day. You know, it can just get to you. So anyway, I want you just to understand that what we think about really does affect us. You see, that's what takes our emotions up or down, what we think about. I mean, imagine this. You go out, you girls, guys relate to this, you single, us married people, we're used to this stuff. You meet this guy. Oh, man, what a charmer. What a sweet, wonderful, dreamy guy. And you know what? You go home and your heart's going pound, pound, pound. How come? Because you're thinking about him. Because of what's on your mind. You walk up to a pig. And it's a pig. What you may walk away is, "Oh, they stink. I hate pigs. I'll never eat another pig." See? So what we take in with our eyes, and then what we let register in our brain and settle there, determines your life now. That's why you've got to have power in your life. That's why you've got to have God's power in your life, because we do not have the power really to have self-conquering thoughts. The only thing we have the power to do without Christ is to have selfish thoughts and make believe. That's all. With God, it's reality. And with God, He gives you the power to change. I just want to end on this little thought. Our thought life, now think about this, this is very important. Our thought life, not our circumstances, determines our happiness. You want to be happy? It's your thought life, not your circumstances. It is never your circumstances. I could give you book after, go read The Hiding Place. You think your circumstances determines happiness? Go get the book The Hiding Place. God determines our happiness, because you know, in any situation I'm in, all these things are true in my life. All these things. You look at the Apostle Paul in jail, beat up, kicked, stoned, bloodied, and he goes on his way singing. You go, the guy's got to be a nut. Well, he's either a nut or he's got something I really want. And I've chosen the second. I want what he had. I want to experience that in my life. I hope you've enjoyed our series on Winning Attitudes, and it's been really a joy to have you with us during the series. And I want to really encourage you to be back next week, because you'll really enjoy the series Brent's going over on Christianity for the Tough-Minded. There are tough questions. You may not have had all your questions answered today. I wish we could go on for days, you know, and take... Jesus used to do that, you know. He used to sit on the side of the hill and people would stay for 3 or 4 days, and then he'd feed them. And then he'd talk some more. But if you have questions and you want to call, I'm in the phone book. Call me anytime. And I'll be glad to talk with you. Meet you, talk with you. Because I know you maybe have got questions. If you don't have questions, and your answers, and your questions have been answered today, then you leave today, and you go home and make your decision for Christ. And after you come to know Christ, and those of you who know Christ, you go home and you put these things in motion. Get change in motion. Make 1989 the greatest year you've ever had in your life. Not because you're going to win the lottery. Not because Mr. and Mrs. Wright is going to walk into your life, but because God Himself is in your life. And only He makes winners out of losers.